Tonight, we're going to be honoring Mike Donahoe, who is retiring from 42 years of work with the County Agricultural Department. Very special event in his life, having retired from the University of Florida and the County Extension Service. And there's going to be a lot of things you're going to learn about, Mike, that you didn't know tonight. And we appreciate so much his service to our farmers and to our citizens of our county over the many years. And we're going to be sharing a little bit about his testimony, about his early childhood growing up in Mississippi, and updating you on what he's done here in the county. I think you'll find it very interesting. We will have a short message from God's Word in light of Mike's testimony. There's some things the Lord just laid on my heart that I learned about him that tell us about how great our God is. And I'm going to be speaking about the Lord's grace and how he undertook for Mike, but also how he's undertaken for every one of us here. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. I just want to share a few thoughts tonight before we get into the history of Mike's life and service. But what the Lord challenged me is I interviewed Mike, and I saw how the Lord had just worked in so many different ways in his life to bring him to faith in Jesus Christ. I began to think in my own life, and many others could give testimony of this, of how the Lord works in our lives to bring us to faith in him. Verse 6 of chapter 1 is very, very familiar, but the Lord just gave me some thoughts as I began to study the original language behind it that I think would be good for us to review in just about 5 minutes or so to challenge us in this regard. Notice verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. It's interesting, that Greek word that's translated in there can also be translated with and in you. Now, we have a tendency to shorten that up in English. We say within. But that you can lose the meaning if you're not careful when you say within. With and in. Because it gives us an indication that God was working with us before he was able to do that work in us. And that thought right there is what challenged me as I listened to Mike share his testimony of how God worked in his heart and life, about how God works in all of our lives. So I'm going to read it that way. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work with and in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your house tonight, to open your word, to be taught. And I pray that you would strengthen us and help us to understand how glorious your grace is, how it was manifested even before we realized it. And I pray, Father, that we would have a renewed thanksgiving and gratitude in our hearts tonight for your wonderful and good grace, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 develops the theme of God's preserving grace in the book of Philippians. There are many different themes. There's the theme of rejoicing. You find that word over and over again. You find the theme of God's grace. As a matter of fact, it's like bookends. In verse 1, it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you. Now, that's more than just a simple little hello. There's spiritual meaning behind that. Grace be unto you. God's grace be unto you. And then look at the very last chapter in the last verse. Verse 23 of chapter 4. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So it begins with grace and it ends with grace. And so there is a theme, I believe, that's developed in this book in addition to the rejoicing and the gratitude and praise that we have in our hearts to God. There's also that gratitude and praise to God for what? For His grace and for His goodness. Three things that I want to leave you tonight in regard to this. First of all, Paul is reminding us that since God has worked with us and in us, we can rely on Him to complete it. That's brought out in verse 6. Since He began to work with us and in us, we can depend upon Him to complete that work. Isn't that wonderful to meditate on that? As Mike and I was writing furiously as he was sharing different things, and then he took the time to email me three different events in his life where God preserved him from death. And I got to thinking about, you know, how God preserved, this was before he was saved, how God comes alongside of us even in our lost state as He is working with us to bring us to faith in Him. That thought, folks, is startling to me. That His grace has been manifested from day one when we are born. When we're conceived. Because we find in the Scripture that there are several instances where individuals like Jeremiah recognized that whenever he was conceived, God had a purpose in that conception to bring him to a place of being a prophet. The Apostle Paul says that. Very same thing. And most of God's servants have recognized that. That at conception, God was bringing forth His will even before the individual was saved. And not only does He do that from birth until the present, but He will also complete that work that He started. Oh, how wonderful. Number two, Paul says that God, having begun His work in our lives, will bring it to completion. I like that phrase, will bring it. We see that here in verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it, or will bring it about. And it implies there an active working of God. Not like the deists believed. You know, in the early days of our country, the deist faith, if you want to call it that, was very prominent in the colonies. And the teaching of that was that God started the world. He kind of set it off like what do you call those things that you spin? A top or a frisbee. And He started that, and then He just stepped away. And the world is just spinning, and He's not actively involved. This verse says He is in the work of performing all the time. God's working all the time. He doesn't take a vacation. He doesn't take time off. He is continuing to perform, to bring it to pass. That implies purpose. That implies determination. And the God of the universe deigns to do that in each individual that He has saved by His grace. That's such a wonderful thought. I read a statement by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones some years ago that I keep in one of my old Bibles, and it made me think about this. This is what he said in regard to God's work in our lives. God does not merely initiate the work and then leave it. He continues with it. He leads us on, directing our circumstances, restraining us at one time and urging us on another. Paul's whole conception of the church is that it is a place where God is working in the hearts of men and women. He is working and performing and bringing to pass in each individual life. Brother Flesher, this afternoon, he and his wife were out walking, and I was up here getting ready for this evening, and he made a comment to me that just was a blessing. He said, "You have a very dear group of people." And he said, "You know what thrilled my heart was so many young people." He said, "I've been to many, many churches where it's just older people and there are very few young people." He said, "But your church, many of them were young people, young children and young people and teenagers and college students." And I said, "Well, we thank the Lord for that." But he said, "I could sense a spirit, an attitude of the people that were sensitive to listening to God's Word." May I, as a pastor, say thank you? That means more than anything else, that you want to hear God's Word. And other people can sense it when they come. And you know what causes that? It's the understanding of God's grace and His working in our daily lives. Thirdly, we see here in verse 6, the certainty of a successful completion. You know, whenever I pick up my horn to start playing, I don't know whether I'm always going to succeed. You ever heard wrong notes come out of a trumpet? Okay. Split notes, we call them in the trumpet world, where you want to hit it. You're doing everything possible. I have to drink a lot of water because my mouth dries out when I start talking and speaking. My mouth dries out. And, you know, if it's not there, the notes aren't going to come out. And whenever you play a song successfully, you say, whoo! But you know what? God never does that. He never goes, whoo, that was close. God never does that. He never did that. When He rested on the seventh day, He never said, whoa, well, that was hard work. Because God is not challenged in the same way we are. Everything He undertakes, He brings it to a successful completion. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be maintenance orders on the mansions. Isn't that wonderful? They won't be calling the plumber. They won't be calling the electrician. They won't be calling the repair guy like Ben was doing yesterday, fixing a washer and a dryer for Tara Adams. There won't be any of those phone calls. Why? Because God does everything successfully. Now, what does this magnify? It magnifies not only our God, but His manifestation in what we call grace. It's a manifestation of the glory and the wonder of His grace. And so I leave you with these thoughts. And let me just share with you something from Pilgrim's Progress. I love that book. It's hard reading if you read the old English, but they've got the new updated English. It's a little bit easier to read. And so I'm going to read from that. This is Pilgrim. I saw in my dream two men enter the gate. As they did, they were transfigured. They had garments that shine like gold. Harps and crowns were given them, the harps for praise and the crowns for honor. Then I heard in my dream all the bells in the city ring again for joy. It was said to them, enter into the joy of the Lord. How is that possible? And how wonderful. You know, it sounds a little bit like fantasy, does it not? A place where there's no problems, no troubles, no sickness, no errors, no fixing things, no maintenance. And God says, enter into the joy. You know why we can have so much joy? Because we have the Creator God in charge of all things, the Savior of sinners. And He brings everything to a successful completion. Let's thank God right now before we share some thoughts about Mike. Let's thank Him for His grace. Let's thank Him for the fact that one day we're going to be brought to completion and we're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your glorious grace. Oh, we're totally undeserving of this grace. And yet You bestow it in a way that never ends. It's a valve that's open to those that desire to receive it. And I thank You, dear Father, that You began a work with us and in us, and that You promise that You'll bring it to full completion, successful completion, at the day of Christ. Lord, we are full of gratitude tonight for all that You've done. And as we share the testimony of Mike Donahoe, I pray that the manifestation of the grace of God that was in his life might cause us to say amen as we reflect on our own lives and for what You have done for us. And we give You the glory and the praise for all that You do and all that You will do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.